Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
To be in America at Christ Community Church in Grenada, Mississippi. Thank you all for praying us back. When we were on the flight, Tyler said, keep us prayed up. You know what I'm saying? And it worked. And it was good. Thank you. The Gideons provided 50 Spanish New Testaments to go down to Ahava. I stole two of them because I know how they feel about that. You know, it's okay to steal them. But so 48 of them are going to be given out to prospective families as they come in and start to get discipled. They're going to get this New Testament, and it's really awesome. And so we're thankful for that miracle that continues. We're going to worship God on this rainy, dark day. And can I tell you, we've been meeting, and you're welcome to come to this. So this is an invitation and information. We've been meeting on Sundays at 7 o'clock to pray for our service. If you're interested in just praying for that day's service at 7 o'clock in the cafe, we get together, we line ourselves up with God, and then we pray. And every day we just ask, every Sunday we just ask for one request. We just kind of see what God puts on our heart so we can pray for that service on that day. And today it was, Lord, encourage your church. Encourage us. So I don't know what you're going through. I look outside and I think maybe some folks came in here discouraged. Maybe your attitude or your mood is like the weather, dark, cold, and rainy. But look. Be encouraged. Pray and see how God might encourage you in these songs, in the sermon, in the testimony. Be encouraged today. That's been our prayer for the whole church. I'm confident of this, that a handful of encouraged people can do 100 times more than a huge crowd of either just blah or discouraged people. Do y'all agree with that? A handful of encouraged people is a mighty voluntary army in the Lord's hand, okay? So let's just pray God encourage us. We'll pray together and the band's going to lead us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you that we are here. Thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy. We so often take them for granted. But Lord, I want to give you credit for all of them. And I ask again this morning that you would encourage this church. Encourage your church. Father, just give us the strength on the inside to carry on all the things you've asked us to do. Give us the strength of mind not to quit mentally or spiritually or emotionally. Help us to be encouraged, to be strong. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We bow down and worship him now.
Jesus is worldwide, is famous. People all over the world today are praising the Lord Jesus Christ. For thousands of years, hundreds of years, it's been going on like this. God is an awesome God, and we have a great privilege to lift His name up today, so take advantage of it. Who knows in the future how good the days are going to be? Who knows if we can gather in Sundays? But we can today. Today, take courage and worship the Lord. While we were in Guatemala, we went to this home, very poor, and there was a woman there dying. And most people where we went, they die at home and they're born at home too. And she was dying. She, next time we go, she won't be there. She's skinny, drawn up. We had the opportunity and the privilege to kneel down next to her bed and with her children and grandchildren there and just pray for her. And then she gave the testimony herself. She said, because of Jesus, I'm ready to go. You know, because of Jesus, I'm ready to go. And the man who took us there, he said, that's not how she was a couple years ago. A couple years ago, she was angry at God. She's been bedridden for quite a long time. She was angry at God, but now her testimony was like that song, when my strength's been fading and my time has come, still I'll be singing your praise. And I wonder about you and me, but we're looking face to face. No question, this is it. You're on the exit. Are you going to give the good testimony then? Are you going to say, I'm trusting in Jesus right now, at this time, when I'm about to step into eternity? Do you trust Jesus then? The key to it is to trust Him now. Trust Him today and you'll trust Him then. You know, give your life to Him. That's what she had done, and it made all the difference. And she, being on the way out, gave a testimony that I'll never forget.
Oh,
In the chorus, we sang, it says, "But you spend time with me," or something like that. "But you still spend time with me, and I can't understand it." When I watched at the Ahava Ministry, a lot of these children come from broken homes, dirt floors, dirty, hungry. No one really, in their society, they're the lowest of the low. You know, everyone's already cast them out. They've already written their future, and it's zero. And they come to this place, and people pour into them, and they love them, and they feed them, and we wash their clothes, and we help them get a shower. We love on them. And they look at us like, "Why are you taking this time with us?" The people around the ministry look and say, "Why are you taking your time with these ones? They're zero. They're nada. They're not going to amount to anything." And it makes me remember how God looks at me. And I think, why would He spend time with me? Why would He have taken... Why does He listen to my prayer? Why does He care about whether I have a future and a hope? Why does He care about giving me a purpose and direction? Who am I? And all we're doing is just passing that on. And said, the God who took care of us, He's called us to let you know that He'll take care of you. And in the meantime, until you come to know that firmly, we're going to be here and we're going to remind you. And it reminds me to even say that here. Be encouraged. Maybe you've been written off of somebody's list as somebody who can't get right and ain't going to make it. But I can tell you what, God can resurrect the dead. God takes our lives back from lost to found, from blind to seeing. He knows how to do it, and we can trust Him. Be encouraged. The God who spends time with the orphan children at Ahava, He does that same work in Grenada, Mississippi, and you are not beyond His help. He loves you. He loves you, loves you, loves you. Amen? Amen.
approved.
Okay. Y'all are going to have to forgive me, too. I still feel like a guy who speaks English that's talking to people who speak Spanish. So if I'm like, okay, it's okay, or I say some real patronizing, because it's weird when you don't know the language, you try to just key on words that you know. So I'm kind of like, okay, which is the same thing in Spanish. Okay, or no, or sí, or lo siento. I'm sorry. I learned that, you know, really good. Lo siento. I'm sorry. And so we didn't have that. Now Nani's class is ready to go. So Nani's class, it's Nani's class being led by Debbie, but it's good. It's going to be okay. Ready? We got, hey, baby. Okay. She was mad at me earlier for wearing her tiara, but I think we're good now. It looks better on her than me anyway. Amen. Amen and amen. I've been greatly encouraged by the body of Christ. And I want to share that. And I've told you that our prayer was God would just encourage us. Okay? So I'm just going to share some of the encouragement that I've gotten. I'm going to share some encouragement from the Word. And Cade's going to share a testimony when we get to the part about Ahava. And then we're just going to ask God just to give it to us. Give us that encouragement. Give us what we need just to make it through. Give us what we need. And because sometimes you're in a season of just making it through. Sometimes you just got to hold on and say, Lord, give me the strength not to quit, not to give up, not to turn back. And sometimes you're in the place of give me the strength to succeed, to see this through to the end, to triumph, to strive, and to go. Whatever season you're in right now, I'm just praying, and our prayer is God would encourage you, that God would give you the strength you need to do what He's called you to do. It's His calling on your life. It's His purpose in your life. And He has the resources to help you hang on, or to help you move up, or help you to go down and be humble without giving up. He knows how to do it all because He's God and He loves us, okay? I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. But I'm going to preach on it here in a minute. But I want us to start off with the Word and then we'll pray. So Romans chapter 8. Great passage of scripture, and just think about the encouragement that comes from knowing that God is your Father. Okay, here it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. Father God, we've heard this Word. We've heard Your Word. A Word that calls us sons and daughters, that calls us Your children. So, Father, would You do through Your Spirit what Your Word says? It says Your Spirit communicates to our spirit to let us know that we are the children of God. And I can't think of any greater encouragement than to have Your Spirit whisper to us that we belong to You. Father, would You do that? Would You whisper to us and let us know that we belong to You and that it's going to be okay? Father God, tell us it's going to be okay, that we're going to make it. That You've paved the way through Christ for us to get to heaven. You've built the home in heaven for us. We're not going to be beggars in heaven. We're going to have a place in our Father's house. We're not going to be wanderers forever. We're going to have a place in our Father's house. Would You tell us, Lord, it's going to be okay, and encourage us this morning. We love You, but we need Your encouragement. We need You to tell us it's all right. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's scenarios in life we go, we want to tell people it's going to be okay. But we're just being optimistic. We're just kind of gambling on the positive side of life because we don't always know that it's going to be okay. We just are hoping it's going to be okay. But can I tell you, when the Spirit of God whispers to you and says, you are my child, I got you from this day to eternity, it's going to be okay. When He tells you it's going to be okay, He knows it's going to be okay. He knows He can take care of you. He knows that there's going to be provision for you. He knows that there's going to be a way for you. He knows He has a home for you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and then to the tomb, and then to heaven. And He's preparing His disciples, and they were freaked out because they knew something was happening. He was dropping hints. Pretty soon you're going to look for me and can't find me. Like, why? Where are you going to go? He's like, you just, it's going to happen. He said, pretty soon they're going to come and take me, and you ain't going to be able to stop them. They said, why? He said, it's going to happen. And they were getting freaked out inside. And so He tells them, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. If it was a gag, if it was a trick, if it was a joke, if it was a puff of smoke just to be positive and just to give you all some kind of false hope, I would have told you. I would tell you the truth. I believe Jesus tells us the truth. Do y'all believe that? And He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, many rooms for you. And if I go now, I'll prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return. Do you believe Jesus Himself is going to return? Man, I believe He's not leaving that up to the best and strongest of angels to come get us. You know, I mean, I imagine there's a lot of opportunity in heaven to delegate. You've got some capable people, angel people. He said, Michael, the archangel, the defeater of the enemy, will you go get my people? I mean, he's a pretty capable dude. There's Gabriel. Gabriel comes with the announcements, the messenger. Man, will you go? You're an archangel. Will you go get my people? Can I tell you, ain't none of those great servants of God coming to get God's people. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, He's coming to get His people. That don't get delegated out to the most capable of spiritual things. He's going to Himself come get us. So He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to receive you. For what point, Lord? This is the part I love. That we had this in our wedding. When Sarah and I got married, it just captured my imagination. What's the point of Him coming back to get us? What's the point of the rooms in heaven? What's the point that we should make sure that we know our heart's not troubled and we can trust God? He said it this way, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the heart of God. Y'all get that? Blows me away. Why would He come after me to make me His child, make me His roommate for eternity? Why? What's so great about me that He would desire that where He is, that I may be there also? You know, we get tired of people. I was at Ahava. I loved it. Wonderful. But it's a densely packed place full of people. And y'all might can watch some of the people who watch my routine here at church. I love people. I'm an extrovert. I love being in the crowd. But then there's a time I retreat. And I either retreat to my office or I retreat to the bathroom, which is my northern office. Back at the old building, I actually had a sign. Y'all think I'm kidding. I actually had a sign on the bathroom stall that said, Pastor John Goldwater. Because sometimes I just have to retreat. You know, and even in the church house, all kinds of people, and everybody's saying, I'm like, I got to retreat. I got to sit down. I got to, you know, oh, I forgot I'm in the bathroom in the story. Anyways, sometimes you go, you got to sit down. It's okay. It's natural. But there, There's people all over the place, and so I didn't have an office, so I did. I find the bathroom, I find something. You know, I just had to get off into my head a little bit and pray and think and be alone for a minute. But I think about God, who has taken on the project of saying, I want you with me forever. What kind of love is that? What kind of crazy attachment must he have to us to say, I'm going to make it to where you and me were never apart? I remember it's been a couple months now, counseling a man I never had met. He had been married for a lot of years. I'm thinking it was like 30, 40 years, something like that, a long time. And his wife had died about 2 or 3 weeks before he came to my office. I'd never met him before, but his strategy to deal with the grief was just to go back to work, get into his lifestyle, get back, stay busy. You know, that was his plan. That's fine. You know, I'm not criticizing his plan. That was his plan. Well, he was showing up for work, and he was crying. And he gets where he wasn't working. And his boss, who loved him, said, you need to talk to somebody. You just need to talk to somebody. He wasn't a church going dude and all that stuff. Somebody recommended him go talk to Big John at Christ Community Church. And so he just showed up. I wasn't here. Sarah gives me a call. John, you need to get here. There's an elderly man in the lobby just crying. We asked if we could help him, and he's just crying. And so I wasn't far. I got here, and we go and sit down, and we're talking. And his heart was broken. He was just crushed. He said, "Man, we did everything together. We'd just go drive in the country. She would take her dog, you know, and she'd have her little dog, and we'd go to the city. They lived in Grenada their whole life. I can't remember the name, and it probably is better not. But I mean, they were just together." And he's like, he said, "But at the end, she was so sick. She was in pain. She was hurt. She wasn't herself. She wasn't lively like she was. She just wasn't her, and she didn't want to live like that. And she kept telling me, I don't want to live like this. It's okay. You need to let me go. It's going to be okay." And he's like, "I just can't. I just can't." He said, "I hated seeing her like that, but," he said, "I can't deal with losing her." And we were talking about that. And all of a sudden, we started talking about God and about God's love, and said, "You know, God loves us so much, and he is so strong that he doesn't ever have to say goodbye to those he loves. Death doesn't separate us from the love of God. Matter of fact, this chapter I read in Romans chapter 8 at the end says, what shall separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus?" And it goes through a whole list of things. And it says, shall death? And the answer is no. It's not till death do we part with him. What a great hope we have with God, because when he loves you forever. When you're a part of his family, you're a part of his family forever. He prepares a place for you. He takes care of you. You are never going to be having to take care of him and do all these things. Oh, God went broke. He made all these promises. You know, he was going to put us on welfare. We had Social Security promised to us. We had all these benefits and stuff, but now it went broke. Man, it ain't never going to happen with God. God don't go broke. God's love is firm, it's steadfast, it's forever, and he invites us in. Man, isn't that good? I'm so encouraged by when I think about God being my father, when I think about being a part of the family of God. So some of the encouragement just recently I've had, and there's been so much, it's hard just to pinpoint some things, so I'll just put some stuff out there. Going on this trip to Ahava was hugely encouraging, but because I got to see the family, you know, working, you know, around the world. It works in Guatemala, just like it works over here and works over here. God just works, and he loves everybody. But, you know, to go on these trips, it costs, you know, plane fare and all that stuff. It's not cheap. But we came to the church body was approached and said, "Will you help?" And y'all helped. And, you know, to have, to be helped with hundreds of dollars to buy a plane ticket is encouraging. You know what I'm saying? That's just encouraging. And so I just want to tell you thank you. So you can know some of the things. I feel a little, well, now that I'm saying it, I feel a little weird. It's like, if you want to encourage your pastor, just give him hundreds of dollars. And I'm just kidding. No. Didn't want that on the record. Anyway, but it wasn't about that. It was about us pulling together and saying, hey, let's do that. On that trip, you know, Cade came, and it was Cade's first time going on a mission trip, and I'm not going to steal his thunder, because he's going to share a little bit with us in a minute. But as a pastor, when I see people moving beyond their comfort zone, moving past the boundaries that they've had, moving towards serving Christ, moving towards the call of God, moving that way, I'm proud. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud. Not in a bad way of proud. You know, but it just makes me glad. When I see opportunities open up, last Sunday, we planned our plane flight. There's another guy who went down to Guatemala with us, but we didn't go at the same time. We planned our flight later because God opened up an opportunity for us to speak. We thought there was going to be, we were told it was going to be about 1,200 people. Well, it wasn't 1,200 people. It was more around 200 people. But praise God, we got to speak to 200 people last Sunday morning and sing praises to them. And I got to see, you know, some of our ladies from the praise band stand just going and doing this, proud and encouraged. And I see our kids. And y'all will know what I'm talking about, so don't y'all do anything. But, you know, it's hard being a teenager, right? Y'all remember? It's difficult. You get picked on if you're not in the right group. You get this and you get that. You know what, though? I've seen our group rally around each other when one's getting picked on and say, no, don't you believe the lies that the devil will tell you. You're on our team. We love you. God loves you. You're all right, sister. You're on our team. When the enemy is trying to just drive them down and say, you're no good for nothing, and literally would say things like that. And watch our youth rally around and come on and say, yeah, no, don't you believe that. Don't you believe that. If we need to whoop somebody, we'll whoop somebody. You know what? Every once in a while, you need to whoop somebody in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Be like, we're going to put a holy beat down on you. You know, and because, hey, I know I'm teasing a little bit, but you know what? If you're a big brother and somebody's picking on your little sister, what should you do? You should pray that they stop. You should tell the right authorities, and then you should bust them in the face. You know what I'm saying? It's the bottom line. If at some point, big brother or daddy or somebody or uncle or somebody, God made it that way that we would step up and say, you know, we tried. We tried to tell you to stop. We tried to tell you to back off, and you're not. And now we're not going to say anything. We're just going to walk up on you and bust you in your face. And you got to do that in the name of Jesus sometimes. You know, and I know right now they're like, I don't think he should have said that. Man, I thought Jesus was a peaceful man. He is, but I'm going to tell you, he's also the judge, and I'm going to tell you, there is no better protector of his people than the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what he's going to do to his enemies? A punch in the face is merciful. Heaven forbid they fall into the hands of the angry living God and not have Christ on their side. Woo! Maybe that punch will wake them up, and they'll say, I want to come on to your side, and we'll accept them. You know, we accept everybody. That's who God made us. You wouldn't believe how encouraging it is to be a pastor in Grenada, Mississippi, that I can go to anybody, no matter who they are, and say, you are welcome at the church where I'm a pastor. And you might be surprised at how many times I've been asked, is everybody welcome at your church? Can anybody come? And I'm not being from here. I was kind of like, yeah, duh. It's the church. Of course everybody can come. Like, have you ever heard of a church where some people couldn't go and they're like, uh-huh? I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't know. My bad. I didn't know. But yes, everyone is welcome. And now that has to do with race. That has to do with economics. That has to do with sin background. That has to do with whatever. I invited somebody who came here to come this morning. They didn't come, but they don't like wearing a shirt. It's a man. I said, you can come. You don't got to wear a shirt. It'll be all right. Yeah, I told him, if you come, just come without your shirt. I don't care, man. Most people have to wear shirts, but we regularly can make exceptions. So even the shirtless. I know everybody's like, that's too far again. Punching in the face, not wearing a shirt. That ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't Bible. Anyway. I think maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm just saying, we want everybody to know they can come. You know, you're welcome here. Just come on. I don't care whatever the world may have said about you. What God says is this, and I'm going to read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out and say, the word Abba is an old-fashioned word, means daddy. Daddy. My daddy. God, my God. When Jesus was resurrected and he sent Mary to go tell the disciples, he said, tell them I'm going to see my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Jesus made that connection. Oh my goodness. I don't know about y'all, but you, when you're around a father figure, when you think about being young, I think about my stepdad. My stepdad was manly. I don't know how else to tell you. He had biceps or like a softball, you know, a vein popping out and stuff. He was an iron worker, a structural steel worker, so he could crawl up I-beams. Drove a Harley, had the beard and stuff. And wait a minute, I think I need a Harley and a beard. Anyways, that's a different story. But he was just manly. And when he was at home, he slept with a 12-gauge shotgun by the bed. We lived outside of Detroit, Michigan. I wasn't scared of nothing. Man, I was kind of like the whole Canadian army. I think they have an army in Canada. But the whole army, they could invade my house. I don't care. The thugs from the hood, they can come down here. Anybody comes down here, because I know Art, that's my stepdad, he's going to blow them up with that gun, and then he's going to beat what's rest of them. You know, he's going to whoop them. And in my mind, there wasn't a whole lot of people who could whoop Art, because he was strong, and he was mean. He didn't even mean to me. You know what I'm saying? He was that kind of mean. He was mean to everybody equally. And I had courage because I knew he was there. Oh, that the body of Christ, that Christians, that believers would have the kind of courage to know that God Almighty is there with you now. And whatever you're going through, he is there. That we can cry out and say, Father, help, I'm surrounded. Father, help, I'm scared. See, we didn't receive the spirit of fear again, but the spirit of adoption, a spirit of power and of a sound mind. We receive God's presence when you get saved. And if I can be brave in the presence of a man, my stepdad, a manly man, how much more so could I be knowing God's with me and God is my Father? Now, I still appreciate my stepdad. I love him. He was a good man. He still is a good man. Treated me well. But he and my mom parted ways, right? And I'm a mama's boy. Y'all know me. So, I mean, that was it. I was like, hasta la vista, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm with my mama. Because that's just, you know, there wasn't no parting me out in the divorce or anything. So I don't keep track with him as much as I used to. And he is a really good man. I forget where I was going with this part of the story. Just wanted y'all to know that about me. And, I guess that's where I was going, is that, you know, he and I parted ways, and there wasn't animosity or anything, but we just don't talk anymore. But God, he and I ain't never going to part ways. He's never going to get a divorce and move off. He's never going to get tired, say, oh, you're such a mess up. Why do I got to get you out of this trouble again and again and again? My strength and my confidence and my courage, when it's in the Lord, it's unfailing. When my courage, my hope, my strength is in the Lord, it doesn't ever stop. When I learn that I can call God my Father and I can call upon Him whenever I need Him, I'm not ever in a place where I got to think, ooh, I wish somebody else, ooh, all these things, I wish they were with me, or I wish I had this. Because He can give me and He can give you all that you need. That's a reason to be encouraged and have God as your God. Can I tell you something? As much as Art, he loved me, he poured into my life. He was mean, but he could be nice to you. He was firm. I was used to my mama, who was like a hippie, and I'm an only child, so she just spoiled me. She's like, hey, it's all good, which is cool. I love it. You know, her and I are besties, and you know, y'all met my mom. That's just how we are. We're close. You know, and he was more military. He always used to shave my head. So I always had a shaved head, this fat, white, pasty, chubby kid. Hey! You know, and a military stepdad. But he and I parted ways. You know what? I'm not going to have any inheritance in his life. You know, he's got a new wife, and he's got his own, you know, different children. He's building into them like he ought to. In my family, we're not well off. There's not going to be any inheritance. There's not anybody planning on, hey, I'm going to take care of, we're going to take care of John. We're going to set something up for him. All that. Not so much. And that's okay, because I look here and it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So God says, you're my child. It's going to be okay. And this next line says it. Because if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs with God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means when you're an heir of somebody? It means that their estate is going to be yours someday. You're going to inherit that. That means what they have is going to be yours someday. In total, it's going to belong to you. You're going to have that. It means that no matter what or when, you are going to be taken care of because there's an estate for you. You know what? Working is good. We ought to work. We ought to have our jobs. We ought to have our retirements, our 401ks, our IRAs, our all that. That's all great, good, and responsible. But I can tell you something. I have an inheritance in Jesus Christ, and no matter what happens to the stock market, whether it goes up, down, or sideways, no matter what happens in this world, if I finish off as poor as I came in because I came in poor, if I end up poor when I go out, I'm going to be rich because I am going to inherit all that God has and has given to Christ, and Christ has given to me, and I have that, and I'll never lose it, ever. Take courage, whatever you're going through. God has got your back. I love that saying, I got your back. What does it mean when someone says that? You can count on me. You can count on me. And I know it's just common vernacular. I know it's just the way we talk, but we ought to use that way when we preach. You can count. God says, you can count on me. You're not second-hand family. You're not just close friends. You are family. For real. I've told y'all the story 100 times, I think. I feel like I have, about the steak. When I went to my best friend's house, and they always set out plate for me, and they always set out forks for me, and she was from Arkansas, so she always made sweet tea. They had 4 people in their family, and they always set out 5 places because they knew I was coming to eat. Because she cooked good. My mama, she cooks good too, but that was mostly ramen noodles at my house. But she can cook the best ramen noodles. Oh, when she comes down to Mississippi, my kids go, Vivi, because that's what we call Vivi. They, what? Make us some noodles. Make us some ramen noodles. You would think they'd want something real vast and expansive, you know, expansive, which is growing. Remember, I just barely speak English right now. Very, you know, expensive, something fancy. You want ramen noodles? Just make us some ramen noodles. And so we eat ramen noodles there, but I'd go to Jeff's house, and they weren't eating ramen noodles there. They were eating chicken and dumplings. They were eating some casserole-y stuff and some noodle-y stuff. They had everything. This had all this stuff all the time. Well, I went over there one time, and I looked, and nobody was home. But there was 2 steaks, nice steaks, in the skillet. They'd been cooked, and they're just sitting there. Well, Jeff and I walked in. Said, man, you reckon these steaks are for us? I asked him. I said, you think these are our steaks? I eat here every day. You eat here every day. He goes, of course, he didn't care. He's like, yeah, no problem. Man, we're going to stab them steaks, go back to the table. I didn't notice that there wasn't a place, but I had to get a plate, you know, anyways. So we're sitting there, and oh, it's so good. We're eating a steak. His mama walked in. She said, nobody had better touch my steak. I immediately, because this is how smart I am, recognized that she probably had a steak for her son. And the steak that I was eating, that was her steak. I didn't say a word. I dropped my utensils, and I walked out the door. See ya. But that's when I realized there's a difference between family and friends on steak night. There's a difference. I mean, friends are as good as family on chicken and dumpling night. We got a lot. Dish that out, plop, plop, plop. But on steak night, there's a difference. When you're paying some, how many ever dollars a pound, you don't buy a steak for the neighborhood kid who comes over all the time. I mean, you love them, you care for them, but a steak, oh! It reminded me, and you should take courage. You're no second-hand citizen with God. There's a stake for you. There's a stake for me. He's got it all, man. He says, it's not like you're going to get this part, this little piece. You're going to live in the ghetto of heaven. There ain't no ghettos in heaven. We're all in the same house. We're all under the same roof. We all eat at the same table, and it's awesome. It's awesome. God is extending His family. That has so encouraged me. I'm going to shut up now, even though I feel like I want to talk forever. And I'm going to ask Kate if he'll come up. And with this in mind, as he shares this testimony, what we saw was we saw God extending the family, extending the family of God. That's what it was about at Ahava, was just saying to those folks that no one else cared about, come on in. Come on in here. This door is open, this table is open, and you're part of the family. That's what he shared. Cade's going to share some of his experience now. Let's see if this works. This work? That works.
Hello.
Hello. Hola.
Hola. So one thing that I was trying to think about exactly what I wanted to say about Ahava, and I came into this little story real short. And it's over in John 21:15-17. But basically, they're eating, and Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, do you love me? Now, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. And he says, then feed my sheep. So he goes again. He says, Simon, do you love me? And they, Lord, you know that I love you. He says the same thing. You know I love you. You know I love you. He says, well, feed my sheep. And a third time he asked, and this time it kind of hurts his feelings a little bit. And he says, Lord, you know me. You know everything. You know everything about me. And you know that I love you. And he says again, then tend to my sheep. So it's pretty clear, I think, just from that three verses of Scripture, there's two big things. Love Jesus and tend to his sheep. It's not a whole lot to that. It's not super simple. It's pretty simple. It's not super complicated. And that's what they've done there at Ahava. They are taking care of some sheep. There's some people there that are getting their bellies filled up that wouldn't have them filled up. And they're getting, they're learning about Jesus where they very possibly wouldn't. Because something else I learned there is that all the churches everywhere in the world are not as open and loving as some, even American churches. We feel like, oh, that may be a little judgmental. These churches are like, you are dirty, you are poor, you cannot tithe, do not come. Do not bother being here. So some of these people really don't have that option to just go to church or not. It's another, just a lot of things that we take for granted that you realize when you're somewhere else. And I've never been to a third world country. And I'm not going to talk about the tearjerker type moments, but there's some sad things, just humanity-wise, just sad. I mean, hunger and need and houses and sad things, but I'm just going to leave that at that. They're just sad things. But what I kind of did want to talk about is some of these workers, the guys that were there. Because what we did was, I said, no, pretty much what I was doing there is butchering Spanish and handing out plates. And that's about right, because you're about like an infant when you're there, because you can't speak the language. And yeah, you can hug kids and hand out plates, and you can do this, but even the, you know, three-year-olds are kind of looking at you like, you can't say nothing, can you? Yeah, I mean, they know a lot more of the language than you do, and you can't communicate that well without your translator. But either way, it's all in service. But the ones that I wanted, that I noticed, because through all that, is the people that do that every single day, day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, because it's big. It's a big job. It's a three-eye stove burner. And they're feeding 140 folks off of. Then they're cleaning 140 folks worth of dishes in a small two-basin sink without running water. It's just soapy water, clean water, and they do it. Every day, three meals a day, a lot of times, especially Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And on the Monday and Friday, there's these street kids that really don't have a place. And they show up at about 7 a.m., bang, 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 on the metal door, and they come in, and they stay till about 8 p.m. And if it's not work day, it's not mission day, they just go. Like with Mario and Pamela, if they go to the market, they just go to the market. You know, getting ready for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If Mario goes and works with the cows, they get in the back of the truck and they all go work the cows. It's just turned into almost their adoptive type situation. They're just serving in. And I just say for those people, they need prayer and they step up to the plate in providing food. But the other way they step up, they just step up to the plate and just feeling as parental type figures. They're teaching these people about Jesus. They're teaching them how to go work the cows. They're teaching them how to come in here and clean the dishes and do this and that and the other. It's just a good thing. And just kind of mind-blowing how sacrificial they are. And they just don't hold back. But they get worn out. And I think sometimes they may get more worn out when teams are there, because then they got like, they're babysitting us too. But it's still a great experience, and there's some things that we can do. Christ Community Church is going to go back there pretty soon. I've heard August maybe thrown around. Is that right? Maybe. I mean, really unset, but possibly even that soon, but very soon. And I hope one day I can go back. I probably won't make that trip, but I think that people should pray about it. And if you think God wants you to go. It's probably not going to be a really easy thing to go. There's going to be something come up. That's going to try to get in the way and be a problem. That's just the way it is. And that's like Shane, who came this last time. Shane is the founder, but he came with us this time. And he's been there over 40 times. But this particular time, his issue with coming is he had a sick grandmother. His mom went in the hospital and his grandma died, and he still came. Which blows my mind. There probably would have been a point that I would have been like, not going to make it. And I would have been there, but he still came. He came, and it was there. He was a great thing to be there. I want to hit him real fast. He was an amazing guy, and not to get on him, because it's not about him, it's about God. But God told him, feed my sheep. He came during a mission trip. He's got a 10th grade education. He's a bricklayer for life. That's what he's been doing the whole time. Still does at home. He's got a full-time job, you know. And he just felt God kind of calling him to do it. And he responded in faith. He came and he did. And I think that's just all of our challenge, is just to do it. Because since he's done it, Santa Ana Berrias, that place is on fire. There's faith. The faith is growing. It's spreading like wildfire. The kids are so happy. They love it. The community loves them because they're feeding these kids. They've seen and needy, and they see the kids are happy. It's just something they're not used to seeing. And not to mention that, their businesses are selling a lot of food and things to feed all them kids. So Ahava's loved there. And it's just kind of lit that whole community up, I would say. I can't imagine what that place would have been without that minister there. It's going to be one of the biggest things going on. But anyway, if you feel like you might want to go, I highly recommend it. I had a great time. I feel like I grew a lot and got to see some things I never would have seen. But prepare yourself for a third world experience, because it is. It's not super touched up for every level of comfort. You know, the shower ain't going to be hot and the pressure ain't going to be high. And everything ain't gonna smell good all the time. It's just not. But it's good. But just prepare for your heart to be moved. Prepare to see some things that were awesome. If you get a chance to go, I highly recommend it. But that's about it for me, as I had there. And we hand back to John.
You know, it's be encouraged. God can take you places that you didn't think you'd go. He'll give you what you need when you don't think you got it. He's got your back, whether you're here on mission or wherever you are. Just be encouraged. Christ Community Church, be encouraged. I'm going to share real quick on just a couple practical things, and we're going to have a time of invitation. The invitation is going to be this. If you've never come to say, Lord, I hear that you want me to be a part of your family, but I've never taken that step. I've never said yes to you. I've never committed and said, okay, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be a part of that family. I want to have part of that eternal life and that inheritance that you promise in Christ. If you've never received that, I just encourage you, come on. There's nothing more encouraging than knowing God is your Father. And he says he's willing to be. So that just means, are you? Okay, but I also want to give a practical sense of some things. And this is, for some of y'all are going to, anyways, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this, but God helps us in practical ways too, and you all know it. Next Sunday, you're not going to recognize the preacher. It's going to be a different guy. He looks about my size. Hair color, very similar, but he's clean shaven. And he's clean shaven because God helped him get under 300 pounds. Yeah. And so... So it's coming off on Wednesday night at 6:30. We're going to have the shave off. Okay. I don't know how we're going to, but we're going to shave it here. I made the commitment here and we're going to shave it here. It's not any kind of religious commitment in the sense of I'm trying to make some kind of vow to God or anything like that. It's not Old Testament. It's just simply saying, I told the folks here that I had these weight goals and I'm giving God the credit. There's so many people who helped. More than I can imagine and more than I can say, but I know why they were in my life too. They were there in my life too because God was doing it. You know, I weighed, I was at one point 385 pounds and got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes that same year and hypertension that same year. I went to get a sleep apnea test and I scared the sleep apnea doctor because my blood pressure was so high. He was like, I don't think you need to be here right now. You know, he was freaked out a little bit. And God's bringing all that in line. God helps us, okay? And we can lean on him and walk with him and say, Lord, just help us. And I'm just giving God all the glory. Again, there's so many other people. On Wednesday, I'll go into some of that, all the people who God used to help, and just give a lot of thank yous and stuff, and we're going to cut it down. The next goal is 275, so I'm shaving off now. I'm in the 298, somewhere in there. And the next goal is going to be 275, and I'm going to grow until 275. So if I end up like a beard down to here, the Guatemalans loved it. They didn't ever see beards. I would put stuff in my beard. I'd like put the end of a jalapeno pepper in my beard. And they're like going, ah, and they're trying to eat like they're going, ah, and I'd go, huh, what? I'm like, huh, what is it? Anyways, it was great. It's a great ministry tool. So I'm gonna grow it back until I get down to 275. But thank you all for praying and stuff. And it's just a reminder to be encouraged. Maybe your goals, maybe you think, hey, heaven's fine, but it may be far away from me. I got some goals and I need some help right now where I am, where I live. Can I tell you, God's an ever-present help right now where you are, where you live. Okay, he's that way too. I also want to give you all a warning. Because next week we're going back into the 1 Corinthians. We've been preaching through 1 Corinthians. And there's been some, in 1 Corinthians, he deals with problems that are present in the real church. And the first problem was about divisions and contentions and arguing. The second one is about sexual immorality. There's sexual immorality in the real church. There's sexual immorality in the real church today too. So I'm just giving you a trigger warning. If you want, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what we're going to preach this next coming Sunday. And just be ready. Who knows what God's going to do and say. But I can tell you this. When God calls you on your sin, he calls you to save you, to forgive you, and to grace you, not to destroy you. So don't be afraid of God in that way. Come to him, but be willing to surrender. Be willing to say, okay, I give up. So those are just some notes of what's going on. Now we're going to have our time of invitation, and I'm going to pray. Father God, if there's any here right now who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, but they want to, maybe they've heard something, maybe they heard the same old message a different way, maybe you tied it to their heart in a different way, maybe they're here and they say, I want God to be my Father, I want that encouragement, I want that eternal hope and that eternal life. Father, will you help them to take that step? You've come down. You died on the cross. What a giant step you took. Now you just say, come, put your faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your house. So, Father, would you help us to take that step, if there's any who need to take that step. And for the rest of us, Lord, for everybody, all of us, if we need encouragement right now, would you help us to look at you, not at our problems, not at the solutions, not at all these other things, not at potential schemes or remedies or whatever. Help us to look at you and to you only and be encouraged. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this is your time while this song is playing. If you want to come up here and pray, come up here and pray. If you want to ask me to pray for you or with you, I will. If you want to be where you are and just do business with God, do it. But now is your time.
Cindy.
Cindy, all right. Oh my. put my glasses on. Oh. Where am I? Do you want to? You don't have to. He's there. We can go. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We're just, and it's just good. What God has started in you, He won't stop. You know, think about how rare that is. You know, people have good intentions but can't always finish what they start. God's not like that. Whatever He starts in you, you can finish. I do want you to pray, and I'm just going to share this really briefly because I don't want to put anything on them, but pray for Philip and Stephanie. Pray for their encouragement. It's been a rough time. Philip is going through some surgery. He's going to have a procedure done Tuesday, and he's already been through a lot of procedures, and they have different things going on with their just life is heavy. I don't need to say any more than that, right? Because we've all been there. Pray for them. Pray for their encouragement. Pray for their for God's provision and protection and healing, and that's just good stuff, okay? And Isaiah asked me to pray for his aunt Cindy, and so pray for. You don't need to know any of the details, right? Just need to know that God hears our prayer, and He just lift her up in prayer. And for everybody else, whatever God's doing, just remember He wants to be your Father. When He's your Father, you can be filled with great courage. Okay, Father God. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward. I'm praying now. Lord, send the ushers forward. And sometimes it's just one of those things. Father, and as they come forward, thank You for sending them. And I pray that this offering would be given from a cheerful heart and just a desire to see Your work continued and to see what You're doing in the lives of the children here and not just the children, but the people who are coming on and taking on and helping each other. Thank You for everyone who helped out at Angela's house yesterday and just surrendered their Saturday and said, we're going to be a part of being a part of the body of Christ. How encouraging that was. Thank You for all that's gone on. Thank You for all that You do. Father, we love You, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anyway, I love all of y'all. Y'all have reached out to me more than I ever expected anyone to. And my friends, and I'm going to mention the ones that are here, Bill and Kim Tompkins, Annette and Lee Smith, Jessica Fly, Lenny, Lindsay, Irving, Andy and Kelly, Teresa. Who else am I missing, y'all? Levi and Cindy. And Austin. And Johnny. I mean, I have been under the weather. And Joshua, yes, Joshua. But I have been under the weather for the last 3 weeks, and I may have more complications coming up, as you can tell in my voice. But I want to thank You, praise God, for the blessings that I have received yesterday and will keep receiving. Now, Friendship Baptist was there also. They are part of my church family also. And I am thankful for everything. Most precious, godly people that we're not perfect. We all come from different backgrounds. Nobody is any different or more important than anybody else. But the love of God shows through people who really buckle down and give Him praise, honor, and glory for everything in their life. It may be just a tedious little drop of water. But God is our refuge in times that we need Him. And I want to thank Him and praise Him. And I want to thank y'all all for loving me beyond all comprehension. Give me love and peace. And my friend, that's what we needed. Thank you.
Love you, Angela.
There we are. Anyway, praise God. Be encouraged. And I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor, and we'll pray out. Father God, thank you for loving us. And I pray that as we go, you would encourage us, make us bold children of God, not fearful, not wondering, not stressed out to the max to where we can't just. And for those of us who are, Father, would you intervene and lift us up and encourage us? For those of us who don't think we need your encouragement, would you maybe take us down a notch, humble us? But whatever it is, Father, show yourself mighty. Give us the courage we need to live in this world as children of God. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready.